When you think of helium, most likely the first couple of things that come to mind are balloons and blimps. But this naturally occurring and non-renewable gas impacts a variety of industries, including medical research and surgery, nuclear energy, U.S. defense operations, national security, even the space program. And we're facing a global shortage of helium. Good morning. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. My guest this morning is going to help us better understand what we're facing now and potentially in the future when it comes to helium. Dr. Greg Wilmes is a professor of chemistry at Eastern Michigan University, and good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
Well, I mentioned that helium is a naturally occurring gas. Can you explain the process?
Helium is actually the second most abundant element in the universe, and it's made predominantly in stars during the nuclear fusion that causes them to burn. Unfortunately, that is not very accessible. On Earth, the source of the helium that we have is made by nuclear decay, mostly by uranium and thorium in the Earth's crust. When that gas is given off, it is collected occasionally in very non-porous mineral or rock deposits, and that's where it can be extracted.
And that's a very difficult capture, I would imagine.
Right. So that was originally found in the early 20th century, that there were large deposits of that, especially in the central United States, and it was extracted quite heavily then. But those initial deposits have been pretty much exhausted.
Now, it seems as though we potentially are losing out on countless opportunities to capture more helium with all of the digging we do into the Earth. Or is that just not the case?
That actually is not the case. There are only very specific rock deposits that can collect the helium. Most of it that is made by these natural decay processes is just given off into the atmosphere and is essentially lost to us. So only if it is produced in these very specific places can we then extract it.
The United States has a national helium reserve near Amarillo, Texas, but congressional action has apparently threatened that supply. What is it that they are or aren't doing at this point?
Well, so that national helium reserve was actually established in the 1920s, back when it was thought that blimps and dirigibles were going to have much more military and commercial significance than they have since. So we had this large surplus that we were storing since the 1920s. In about the 1990s, it was noticed that this facility was actually operating at a loss. It owed something over $1 billion, and the decision was made to sell off those helium and essentially to privatize those reserves. Unfortunately, the wording of that law did not really do a good job of setting a reasonable price at which it was sold off. So it was being sold at a significantly lower price than might have been appropriate. So we had sort of two problems with this. One is that the U.S. government missed out on an income opportunity by selling this off too cheaply, and it tended to discourage further exploration and development of new helium sources. This was historically extracted and separated from natural gas deposits, but in many of the natural gas facilities that were built since about the mid-90s, it wasn't cost-effective to extract the helium, so it was essentially lost. And now, as those initial deposits have been exhausted and new technologies are being developed in the United States for the collection of natural gas, many of those are from deposits that do not contain this natural occurring helium.
Therefore, the shortage. You are listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and we're talking about the global shortage of helium and its potential impacts on our lives with Dr. Greg Wilmes. Dr. Wilmes is a professor of chemistry at Eastern Michigan University. There are some estimates that without proper action, we could run out of helium in 25 to 30 years, and the impacts would go well beyond running out of party balloons. What are some of the more important uses of helium that would be impacted?
Probably the most important use of helium, at least commercially, industrially, and scientifically, is its use as a cryogen. So helium gas can be condensed into a liquid, and that liquid has a temperature that's about 4 degrees above absolute zero.
So very cold.
Very incredibly cold, yes. Not maybe 2 degrees warmer than the interstellar space. Very, very cold. Now, this has a tremendous amount of uses as a cooling agent, but probably the two most important involve the use of superconducting magnets. So by cooling these magnets, they can generate incredibly strong magnetic fields, and probably the largest use of those is for magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI,
right,
in the medical fields. Chemists use the same technology, but instead of looking at people, we look at molecules in a technique known as nuclear magnetic resonance. So as we run out of our helium reserves, those are probably the two fields that will feel the shortage most acutely. Magnetic resonance imaging may become much more expensive or even impossible, and nuclear magnetic resonance for the chemists will become much more expensive. And that is an incredibly useful technique that is necessary whenever new molecules are made to determine their structure. So if that technique were to become prohibitively expensive, that would have an incredibly bad effect on, say, drug development, coming up with new pharmaceuticals, or anything involved in the making of new chemical molecules.
Beyond that impact, it seems to me there would be a significant economic impact, particularly in areas like Washtenaw County, where research, development, and healthcare industries are so prominent.
Yes, we have a large number of these nuclear magnetic resonance instruments at all of the chemistry departments in the area, University of Michigan, Wayne State, Michigan State, and Eastern. And there has been a tremendous boom in the field of magnetic resonance imaging all over the country and presumably in Southeast Michigan as well. These instruments have a constant need for helium, and the way these magnets work, there's no real practical way to turn them off and not use the helium when they're not in use. They're constantly using the helium. So if the helium runs out or becomes much more expensive, many of these facilities, which have been invested in hugely, will probably have to be shut down, and that seems very wasteful.
Once again, you're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. We're talking helium, the global shortage of that gas, the important ways in which it's used, and the potential ramifications if the issue isn't adequately addressed. Our guest this morning is Dr. Greg Wilmes, a professor of chemistry at Eastern Michigan University. And would you characterize the situation today as a crisis, or is it an issue with the potential of reaching a crisis stage?
I would say it's more of an issue with the potential of reaching the crisis stage. This is one of those issues that we can see things happening coming from a long way off. So it's one of these slow-motion train wrecks that are so common in our society now.
So if you were in charge, what's the first thing you would do to address the helium shortage?
Well, Congress did pass legislation early in October to stop the closing of the facility and to kind of buy more time for the development of more helium resources. So that will help to ameliorate this problem somewhat, but the price of helium is definitely going to rise. There are some additional sources of helium that can be discovered around the world that were perhaps price prohibitive in the past that may be developed, but this is ultimately a limited resource. So at this point, the best thing that can be done is to encourage the collection of the helium gas from all of these facilities that are currently allowing it to blow off into the atmosphere. That will be very costly, but at some point, as the price rises with the shortage...
We're talking helium recycling.
Right, essentially helium recycling, yes.
Well, are there alternatives? Are we going to be able to find something that works as well?
At this point, there really aren't any great alternatives. The only other material I can think of that has the same cryogenic properties would be liquid hydrogen. But of course, having something that is that potentially flammable is maybe not the best idea.
You don't want to stick your head in an MRI machine if it could explode.
Right, that's generally not considered a good idea. You know, conceivably, we could have technical advances in high-temperature superconductors, and that would help with this problem. But that seems to me a problem or a solution that's quite a ways off. Mm-hmm. So at this point, our best bet is trying to conserve what limited resources we have and hope that there are some other stockpiles in the world that can be discovered. Perhaps as the price rises, it'll become more cost effective to extract those. But still, that is only a short-term solution.
It seems this is an issue that goes beyond the individual. Yet, in your opinion, is there anything we as individuals can do to address the issue other than stop buying balloons?
And again, you know, the use of helium. Right, that's such a trivial, tiny amount, even, you know, for... filling the entire fleet of Goodyear blimps is a very small percentage of it. This is really something that's at a much larger institutional level, and unfortunately, I don't think there's much that the average consumer can do to help conserve the helium resources at this point.
Thank you so much for your time today. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you very much, David.
That is Dr. Greg Wilmes, a professor of chemistry at Eastern Michigan University. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular feature each Wednesday during Morning Edition. It is a collaborative production between the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and the News Department here at 89.1 WEMU.